from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there, and welcome to the rewrap for Thursday. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and we've got another Trump date for you this morning. Bic Runga came into the studio and sang at us, and reality TV is really, really not going anywhere, unfortunately. But a bit more Winston watch for you this morning. In fact, quite a lot more.
Back to Jacinda. It's a three-way. With three major groups and very, very big philosophical differences between the parties. Now, Wayne Mapp, the former National MP, he argues, and I've got sympathy for the argument, that the reason Labor got three terms last time was because National made the error of doing a deal with Peters that turned into the mess it did. Instead of being in government, staggering from crisis to crisis, Labor prepared themselves and they were set to go when the time came. Why doesn't the same scenario apply today? As for Bill, I fully get why they're backing themselves. I mean, they're popular, the economy's sound, it's a two-way, not a three-way. They're closer to Peters in terms of knowledge and policy. They've now done deals for 9 years. They'd argue they've learnt from last time. But I'd have a meeting. I'd have a meeting, have my bottom lines in terms of what I can give up. I'd listen to Peters, and you would immediately get a sense of whether it's possible or whether it's a mess and it's all crazy. And as badly as I want to be in power, and this, by the way, is probably where my argument is delusional, because I wouldn't be a politician chasing power at all costs, and most of them probably are. So for me, walking away isn't the end of the world, but walk away I would if it all looked a bit nuts. And I'd call a press conference, and I would tell the world what Winston asked for, and I'd tell them why I wasn't going to agree with it, and I would tell them the destruction of my party and the government simply are not worth it. And I will see you all when the whole thing implodes. And I bet you anything you want, the party's popularity, having said that, would go through the roof. You see, it's all about the balance of power. By grovelling to a bloke with nine seats, by looking like you're desperate, by not genuinely having the belief that you don't actually need this, you start out on the back foot. And that really ends well.
Yeah, it would be cool, wouldn't it, for Bill English to just step away from the whole thing and say, you know what, we're having another election right now. Go. And let's see how many votes Winston gets then. Unfortunately, that's not how it happens. This is how it happens, apparently.
Of course, I'm more than happy to be proven wrong. I long for the day that English and Ardern come out of a negotiating room and go, my Lord, that Winston, he's changed. Bill English goes, tell you what, compared to 96, he's barely recognisable. What a fair-minded, even-handed business this has been, with lashings of mutual respect and understanding. Hence, we've cut a very good deal for both sides in record time. Now, as wrong as I would love to be proven, I am not holding my breath. Which is why the suggestion that we lower the thresholds around getting into Parliament need to be dismissed forthwith. The suggestion came as a result of your minor parties having the worst night ever as far as results are concerned on Saturday. Colin Craig, like Colin Craig before them, top couldn't crack 5%. ACT went backwards. United, the Maori Party, got wiped out completely. They joined MANA, the Internet Party, the Alliance Parties, all on the scrap heap of MMP history. The plight of the minor party in the MMP era is a mess. Hence we need, so goes the call, to make it easier for these people to cross the threshold. Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Those who have low thresholds speak for themselves. Italy, Greece, Cyprus. There are others, of course, but I fail to see a successful, stable, prosperous country that lets any old ramshackle mob in on an easy ticket to Parliament. Of course, there is more to a country and its plight than access to Parliament, but the general rule applies. The more parties, the more trouble. Why do you think Bill English is selling a simple two-way with Winston so hard? Many are arguing Labour and the Greens are a party too many, for goodness sake, and that's only three. Imagine if it was five or six or more. MMP is hard enough as it is. Why on earth would you want to make it worse?
Yes, and while we sit around and wonder what the hell we did last weekend, they're still wondering that 250-odd days into Donald Trump's presidency, of course.
Just quickly on Trump this morning, he's very bullish about his healthcare. Reckons he's got the numbers on the healthcare, but there's a slight problem.
On healthcare, we have the votes. We can't do it now because we have somebody in a hospital. And we have great respect for that gentleman, by the way. He's a fantastic man. We are going to do, he's a yes, that's right.
Sir, who's in the hospital? Which senator are you referring to?
He can't come here and vote. In other words, he can't come here and vote because he's in the hospital.
Who is in the hospital, sir?
Wait, let me just, yeah.
He's question. What he was struggling with there is he couldn't for the life of him work out who the hell was in the hospital. Someone had told him. Works out in the end, everyone went, oh my God, who's in hospital? Turns out to be a guy called Thad Cochran, recuperating from what's been referred to as treatment for a urological issue down in Mississippi. So
I think Trent didn't want to go into too many details. I think that's probably what it was. It wasn't that he couldn't think of what the guy's name was.
It just sounds
like it's a personal thing that we don't need to get too carried away with.
Anyway, once Thad's okay, they got their healthcare taken care of.
Although in saying that, apparently because they can't vote for it right now, it might not happen now till January or February. I wonder who'll be in hospital then. Politics. We've had enough, so let's listen to some nice music from Bick Runger instead.
I know it's late now. I know where I ought to go.
Your mum taught you to sing. Is it because I can't sing? And it's one of those things that you sort of want to do.
Oh, please, yeah.
No, don't feel sorry for me. It's okay. But did your mum teach you to sing based on? Do you believe that it's a gift anyway? You could sing and you would have sung, or can you, if you try hard enough, you will sing?
Oh boy, that's a good question. I think some people just can sing in tune, and I think most people can sing in tune. So if you go to like a rugby match and then everyone's singing, it does hold a melody, right?
Yes.
Yeah, which I think means that most people aren't tone deaf.
No.
But some people are. and I don't know. I mean, when you hear them try to sing along to something, they're kind of singing a harmony, and then it like ducks around to something else. And I don't know what they're hearing, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think you can get better at it.
I guess so. Yeah, and the reason I asked that is you went to Melvina Major.
Yeah.
Recently. So as a seasoned professional yourself, what is it that she was able to teach you?
She's been great for me. I really owe her a lot because we met at the last New Zealand Music Awards, and she asked if I could meet me, and I actually had just said the same thing to my people, and so we met backstage, and I said I've been trying to track you down for years, and she just said come along to this opera course that she was running. Which was a 2-week course, and I was just sort of shadowing everyone, and I just learnt about, you know, the importance of breathing and supporting the voice. It actually comes from sort of your core muscles. So I didn't know any of that stuff.
Does it help?
Yeah, it does. It does help. Breathing is the ultimate. You know, that's really the most where it starts.
Of course. Can you hit a high note now?
Actually, they did. They taught me how to hit these really, really crazy head voice kind of sounds.
Can you hit one for me now?
Oh boy. Sounds like feedback.
That is that's phenomenal. Could you ever do that before?
Sort of. Not really. No.
I can't believe that she did that. It's been a crazy old show today. It really has. And there's some crazy old shows to come in the next year on TVNZ. And not good crazy either. Apparently, record number of reality TV shows are planned. Here's Regan Cunliffe. He's not happy either.
What I worry about in some of the local versions is because we're only 4.5 million people. See, Love Island is the British version. I've never seen it, but apparently it's, I mean, if you're into that sort of thing, it's fantastic. But you've got a base of 60 million people to draw from, and there's bound to be a Sharon and Tracy there that's interesting. Whereas if you're pulling from 4.5 million people, you're going to look to get some fairly sad old individuals, aren't you?
Yeah, and we never cast very well in New Zealand, which I think is a huge problem. But again, you know, you come back to things like, you know, what is the target demographic of that? It's typically a younger audience. And they're all watching Netflix and Amazon and even more so YouTube, you know, Facebook Live. You know, so it just seems to me that, you know, that they're spending money on something that is kind of antiquated. And I guess that stems from the fact that the executives that are there aren't from a newer generation. They've been there for a long time. And I tend to be pursuing the same things over and over again, expecting a different result.
Having said that, if you do create something local, you've created something unique that is yours, and therefore it's not just sort of pirated or downstreamed or uploaded or whatever it is from internet. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's real value in local content, but, you know, they're competing with the likes of Netflix, Amazon and Hulu now. I mean, Netflix, their content budget for this year alone is $6 billion US. On top of that, you got $4.5 billion from Amazon, $2.5 billion from Hulu. I mean, how do they really compete with that when the kind of content and the storytelling that's been produced you know, offshore. I mean, quite personally, I think it would be the better option would be for someone like a South Pacific Pictures to be pitching local stories to those big companies, getting a much bigger budget to produce that stuff, and then getting our content out, not just to New Zealand, but to the world.
Yeah, selling to the world, and that's where the money is. Regan, appreciate your time. Regan Cunliffe, television critic with us this morning. Yes, the debate, the first debate, turns out to be the biggest television programme of the year. And that was what was exciting about that, and the other debates are rated extremely well as well, and election night and all of that. What was so exciting about that is that was one of those rare occasions when we as a nation were actually genuinely engaged. And it's always good to be part of something like that. So you can't say that politics was boring this year.
Yes, how encouraging. We were more interested in an election where we decide the fate of our country than we were in who won MasterChef. IMPZB, a rather depressing end to the rewrap for Thursday. Let's brighten things up with some pretty bows and sprinkles and glitter tomorrow. I'll see you then.